Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Podcast der Comic Invasion Berlin. Ich bin Carlos und bei mir ist Lara.
Hallo zu Folge 4.
Und heute zu Gast haben wir Federico Cacciapaglia und das ist der Autor von The Growled, das letztes Jahr im Jaja Verlag erschien. Aber erstmal wie immer keine News. Diesmal keine News, weil es gibt gerade nicht viel zu berichten.
Ja, die ganzen Deadlines und Termine sind ja schon durch. Satellitentische und auch der Wettbewerb sind alle dicht. Als nächstes wird dann das Satellitenprogramm vorgestellt werden, also immer wieder mal auf die Homepage der Comic Invasion schauen, um schon mal das eine oder das andere abzuchecken.
Genau, dann können wir euch einfach nochmal sagen, wann die Comic Invasion überhaupt stattfindet. Die Satellitenwochen starten am 24. April und das Festival ist dann am 6. und 7. Mai. Now we're switching to English with our guest Federico Cacciapaglia. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm Federico.
So, please introduce yourself a little bit.
Well, I do mostly comic and illustration, and my website is Aquaspazio, which means water space. And everything I draw is in this scenario, is a floating scenario, which is basically I started because I read a lot of this philosophical stuff about fluid society and this media that we are using that let us arrive to the stuff we are searching on Google or on social media and stuff so easily that every concept is floating around us. In this liquid society, yeah, it's a liquid, we are in this fluid. I feel that it's more floating around me, like with no gravity, and the gravity is more an empathic gravity of the interest that we put to the object that we search. And this is the name of my website, and I start to put comic story inside this floating dimension. And then after a while I realized that the storytelling needs sometimes a little bit of gravity. And so I started doing some story with a proper gravity, like The Growls or this last recipe book. But I have to say that this new comic I'm working on is in the universe, so I'm back in a floating dimension with no gravity. And yeah, the theme, I mostly do self-biographical comic. It's weird because are all in this surreal scenario, but I try always to put stuff that are really present in my life, my personal life.
Tell us a little bit more about your background. You studied philosophy?
Yes, I studied philosophy in Rome, and then after, well, I also finished philosophy, but after the second year I was studying, I was a big crisis because I actually didn't know what to do with philosophy as a proper job. So I've been to New York in the School of Visual Art, and I did some courses there, and then I realized that artist or just comic artist is a job and needs to be thought as a job. It's not just this intellectual concept of artist that sometimes in Italy we have. So I studied philosophy, then I finished philosophy, and I felt some problem in choosing this path in Italy, because there is it's a hard situation with publishers. It's like there are big publishers, but there isn't a scene of small publisher. There is a big scene of underground comic festival and underground publisher, but that is not a real good possibility to publish, because it's the same as published by yourself. So it's like it's very hard to stay in that part in Italy. So I risk a little bit, and with my background of philosophy, I said to myself, why not Germany? Because I read so much about the German philosopher. I'm very interested in all of these themes, and so I start doing comic here in Berlin, and I met Annette and Jaja Verlag. That I cannot say how happy am I with them. It's like truly, it's like a second family. The way she managed this publisher is amazing, and with my background I just found the perfect space to publish books, and I found a very good connection with the publisher, which I think is for me one of the most important thing, because I feel that all my world get a little bit relaxed with a good publisher that believes in me and reading my stuff, also with a critical approach. This is is the main thing I found here in Berlin.
And The Growls was your first publication?
Yeah, it's my first publication with a proper publisher, and it was very funny how the Growls got published, because in the first Comic Invasion I was there, and I did this short strip after the comic of what I remember of the comic. It was a funny strip, and at the end of this comic I was joking about the fact that I didn't found a publisher in this comic festival and stuff, and Annette replied on the comment section in Facebook, okay, saying, why didn't you ask to AI? And I said, oh, wait, I have to ask right away. And I was there with some works already done, that was already finished. But then she saw these sketches I was doing about this story that was a little bit longer about the bio food and supermarket food, and this paradox we are having, this controversial situation we are living, mm-hmm, with the choice of what we are eating. And she kind of liked that and wasn't finished. So I say, okay, let's do this. And I finished, was the first one. And it's very happy for me because it's like, it's not even short comics that I had prepared and it was already finished, but was more short stories and like more self-biographical. This one is more close to what I would like to do with comics, like try to translate a little bit observation of problematic of the world we are living in, or at least the landscape of the city we are and the way we are living in this landscape. Also with surreal element, but for me it's very important to try to with surreal element that can help to get inside this problematic without being so harsh or getting depressed. Mm-hmm. But I think it's very important to let this topic comes up from comics.
So you already said that you studied philosophy and you incorporated that philosophy of that fluid society also in The Growls. But I also read that in part it might be a sort of parody on some characters, like we have the photographer and the vegan guy. What's your explanation for these two characters?
Well, the photographer started, for me also, the character design for the photographer was weird. I started thinking about Goofy and the photographer of Apocalypse Now, or Shades of Darkness, Hearts of Darkness, I'm sorry. And I was thinking about this character that is, you know, this, because right now we are living in a image society. Everything is image, everything is just on Facebook and social media or on the street with advertised, just the power of the picture, like a photographic picture, and the power they have saying that what they are showing is the truth. This is like is interesting for me because at the end it's just the finger that click on the object. It's not just saying anything from that image. They it's like this approach that with the picture you have the truth in your hand, but without explaining it in any way, you're just the holder of some truth. And so I think this character can be controversial because we are seeing this a lot in our world, but it's also fun because sometimes, yeah, these people are also it's a topic that interests me a lot, what is we are living it right now with what is information, is how we reach information, what is information. Mostly right now information is just a picture we see on our social media, and so that's the character of the photographer. Well, the vegan, it's interesting because all this Growls book started with me in Berlin. And I think Berlin is the capital right now of this speech about food. There are so many Bioladen, Biomarkt, and there is a lot of interest in this argument. And I found that, and I had a lot of discussion with friends here that are sometimes vegan or stuff. I say to myself that I am a carnivorous with a consciousness. It's like I love to eat meat, I have to say, but I feel that I feel all this problematic that are raising with our approach and the paradox that are inside this market of food, which is, of course, you can eat healthy if you are rich. So more you're rich, more you can get healthy food or bio food, or, you know, and the other side, the poor people, of course, they will buy at the supermarket because they cannot afford to spend that much to have that healthy food. So there is a paradox, but at the end there is also a consciousness that see that we all I think we all have a consciousness and we all feel that the way we are going to buy food, which is really important for all kind of life, and then become so connected with business stuff. And so the problem is that how can we put ourselves in a critic way inside this business market? And yeah, the vegan is like in this comic. Well, there is no happy ending for him, but it's also inside the heroes team. It's like he's inside the good team, but it's like he's the one guy that inside the good team is too radical to understand that it's not the direct path to solve the problem, and so he gets lost in the end without solving anything. But still, for me, it was important to put in the right, in the good team.
For people who don't know Die Grolls, please tell a little bit about the story. What's happening there?
Yes, well, the comics start with these three seeds planted exactly next to a fridge, and it's an empty fridge. From these three seeds came out these three creatures, which are Die Grolls. And the name of them is just the growling of their stomach, because they are hungry. So they are kind of the hunger itself. They are planted next to a fridge. From that moment, they wake up, they are hungry, so they want to buy food, and there is only one choice, to go to supermarket. From that moment on, they will meet a lot of character, and they will understand that supermarket food makes you become a monster, a terrible monster, a sadic monster, with the only intention of destructing nature and let the endangered animal get extinct, also cultural minority. And at the other side, there is the bioman. Well, there is the bio food that can give you superpower to fight back these evil monsters. Yeah, this is, I think, is the main plot.
So, speaking of food, your upcoming book is a cookbook. It's called in German Yam Yam, Italienisches Kochtheater, which translates as into Nom Nom, Italian cooking theater or theater of cooking. What's the story behind that one?
Well, the story is like I did a kind of understanding of the market of the publishing market in Germany, but also in Europe, and speaking with Yaya, it was very interesting, the part. And of course, the recipe book are very very common and very sellable in a lot of stuff. I thought that there was an open space for do a recipe book with some little comic inside. The first problem was that I would like to put a story inside and put some recipe inside the comic, but then I realized that was too confusing to find and to keep on reading the recipe as it has to be a recipe, so really simple to understand. And so I decided to do like a little game, like it's a recipe book with the recipe, but in the between a recipe and another there is a little comic story on the scene of a theater made by the ingredient of the recipe. So it's like I was thinking about the mother and the children cooking together, and they after a recipe they can look together the little comic that is just a funny story that can help to go on the book more happily. But yeah.
What kind of menus can we learn there?
Well, this is a simple menu with a basic technique at the start, which are the most important technique, like the cutting, like carrots, onions, and celery. Which is the base for so many preparation, the Italian cuisine. So there are like the first part with basic preparation, or for example, how to prepare the bread, which is also a thing that we in Italy, we use for everything. We eat everything with bread. It's like we cannot separate, which is normal, but so the start is we prepare a lot of this basic preparation. So then during the entire menu, which is an entire dinner, what I present here, more recipe to do an entire dinner, big dinner, yeah. So with the preparation at the start, you will have also the bread for eating together with the other stuff, or preparing, like for example, the tomato sauce that you can use also with other preparation later, for example, with the meat or other. And I close with the dessert as crostata with lemon cream, which I don't know, it's a recipe that I love. So yeah. And I have to say that as an Italian, there is this part of a recipe and like try to share this cooking knowledge that came from my grandmother that is something that I feel inside. I don't know.
Okay, and what about your next big project? Let's talk about this.
Well, it will be called Immigrant Star. And I will present a preview the 3rd of May during one of the satellite event in Comic Invasion. And it's gonna, well, I'm very excited about this. It's gonna be my longest comic. I think will be 300 pages. I'm doing right now the shaping of the end. So I think 300 pages, but can be more, can be less. I'm there. And it's a story that I really love because I think it's self-biographical. It's about an artist that is searching for a job in the universe. But because he's an artist, he can only do useless stuff. So he cannot find any job in the universe. His space machine is a washing machine. His spaceship is a washing machine. And he got a friend, which is a unicorn, and that throw up every time he heard the word job. So in this scenario, he traveled around the universe searching for hope and a job, hopefully. And I feel very close to this character, actually. I have to say that I am this character. And hopefully, at the end of the book, I will find also my own path and my own ending. I hope so.
So you don't have the end right now?
No, I already have the end. Well, the thing with the end, I'm discovering more I'm doing comic is something that is not that easy. I have more end. Well, when I start writing, I have the main concept that I put down. I try to write, I try to work on layers, on the stories. But then I have, normally I have two or three ends always, which is one bad, one happy, and one really realistic one. Or I can say it's not bad, but it's dark, but it's realism. And more I finish all the work before, more the end kind of takes its own shape alone, and the only thing I have to control and be very careful is if this end is leading to the main core I want to say. So in this case it's self-biographical. I don't have the final solution for my own life, so it's like it's very hard to put the word end to some this kind of story. So it has to work in a way that the three end I have in my head can be together in one working hand. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying, but it's stuff that I'm working a lot and yeah, it's taking shape, and I think that it will be great. It will be the best hand I will find.
You plan to publish it this year?
Hopefully this summer. Well, I'll present this the 3rd of May. And I'm working to at the page 235. I have the sketches of this kind of end, but I hopefully will publish and during this summer. I will try my best to do that because every time that I have this big project, the only thing I want to do is to close it because it's you want them to stay standing in front of you alone. And that's, I think, more I do comic, more that's my dream. It's like to see this book that doesn't need me anymore. They are just there and they're looking at me and maybe tell me something more than I wanted to tell.
What's your connection to Comic Invasion? What do you think about Comic Invasion? What part does Comic Invasion play in your creator's life?
I can say a lot of stuff, and it's very and the things I want to say is that I'm very emotional about this because the Comic Invasion is actually it's one of the first comic festival I've been in, and it's from Comic Invasion I met Annette and Yaya Ferlag, and so it's the festival that really gets me into a network and meeting people that are right now really important in my life and in my work. Also, I think that Comic Invasion, after Comic Invasion, I started travel and doing a lot of other festivals, which I started to see that it's really not just important, it's fundamental for this job, for sharing idea, for meeting other artists, for meeting friendship, because in my case, Comic Invasion is also a huge filter for friendship. I found there great people, and it's always amazing for me to go there and see which person is new, which person is, and also after traveling, I've been to other festivals and I see that Comic Invasion is very well organized, also in a thing that in other underground festival around Europe, there isn't this thing. It's like in Comic Invasion, there are self-published, underground publisher, but there are also little publisher and medium publisher. So there is also a possibility to meet these people and maybe find critic or just to meet them in the same place, which is often not possible in other place in Europe, in other festival, because the big publisher are completely separated by the small publisher. About the Comic Invasion, I'm really in love with it. So it's really something that I cannot miss. It's from the first Comic Invasion I've been, I did these little short stories, and at the end of these short stories, I published on social network. I was saying, yeah, and I was saying inside the comic, the character was saying, why have you found the publisher? And I was saying, no, I didn't. And then in the comment section on Facebook, Annette replied, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you ask to Yaya Ferlag? And it was like, it was so direct. So a little comic made for Comic Invasion got me to the editor I am in right now and that I love so much. So what is the best?
So you've been to Comic Invasion for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. What has changed in your mind? What do you think has become better, and what might still need to be a bit better? Is there room for improvement, or do you think that now it's almost perfect and it should go on like that?
I'm a positive person, and I think that there is always room for improvement. And I think that also the people that work in Comic Invasion are so creative, and I think all of you think that there is room for improvement. And it's, I think, part of the energy behind this festival, the will to always grow and get better. From the first Comic Invasion, right now there are much bigger satellite event scene. It's much longer. It's in places that are much more known in another way. I saw also a sponsor part. I discussed this a lot with the underground festival in Italy, because I think that there are a lot of things that Comic Invasion can teach to underground festival, because it still is a festival with a budget, with sponsor, with a series organization, but still is very affordable also for underground publisher, self-publisher. So I think that it's growing better, and I don't see too much place for big critics, because I think it works very good. The communication is great. I don't see other festivals working like that with communication, and networking in this festival is great. And also here in Berlin, I see a lot of people working for Comic Invasion in other super small festivals. So also the spread the word is working very well. I think, of course, there is room for improvement. Well, maybe from my point of view, my only problem I'm seeing with this comic festival scene is the way to do a more European network. Not just because I work with a lot of guys with small underground festival in Italy, which is a big scene of these great artists, and also in other parts of Europe like Greece, Spain, France, and other places, there is room for it. And I think this festival needs to become, in a way, more international, because the comic scene right now is this generation X. We are not talking just one language. We speak together in from nation to nation, and I think this networking that Comic Invasion is doing so well here in Berlin, I think it needs to be connected with other festivals around Europe.
The language is comics, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap it up, and thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And see you at the Comic Invasion.
Of course, I will be there for 100%.
So, und hier geht's jetzt weiter mit den Terminen. Was gibt's denn da diese Woche?
Ein Abend mit Reprodukt am 27. April 20 bis 22 Uhr im Modern Graphics in der neuen Filiale in der Kastanienallee.
Und dann gibt es noch die Vernissage Brutto und Netto, eine gemeinsame Ausstellung von CX Hut und Nettmann im Knot und Krüger in der Oranienstraße 188. Und das findet statt am Samstag, dem 22. April um 19 Uhr. Das waren die Veranstaltungen.
Das waren die Nachrichten für heute. Wir wünschen Ihnen noch einen schönen Tag.
Genau. Und bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss.
Tschüss.
Tschüss. Tschüss.